The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O
Lord.
Jesus went down to Capernaum, a town of Galilee. He taught them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, because he spoke with authority. In the synagogue there was a man with the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be quiet. Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down in front of them and came out of him without doing him any harm. They were all amazed and said to one another, "What is there about his word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And news of him spread everywhere throughout the surrounding region. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we see how the people in the Capernaum synagogue, that very place where Jesus would work so many healings, where he would announce precisely that we needed to gnaw on his flesh and drink his blood to have any life, speaks. He speaks with an authority that astonished people. Jesus' words always have that authority. And in the middle of his homily, somebody sitting out there stands up and starts shrieking, possessed by a demon. And Jesus, as a manifestation of the authority of his words, commands the demon first to be quiet and then exorcises the demon. Incredible power. If the demons obey the authority of the Lord's word readily, then we, who are believers, should be even more prompt. The one difference between the obedience of the demons in today's gospel and our obedience is Jesus commanded with all his power of God the demons to come out. The demons' whole motto was basically, "I will not obey," which Jesus never does that to us. He has created us free. And when he commands us, he commands it to our freedom, to our trust in him, that what he's asking of us, in fact, what he's commanding, ought to be done by us for our own good and the good of others. But we need always to look at that faith that leads to prompt, loving, trusting obedience. One of the words that Jesus speaks to us every single year that we need to take very seriously is what he says at the beginning of every liturgical year. What's his message, if I were to ask you that question, that he reminds us of at the beginning of every liturgical year? Today, many of the students in Fall River are going to be going to school for the first day. And as a good teacher, the teacher's going to return to some fundamentals on the first day of school, about what the homework is, about what the policies are, etc. Jesus, at the beginning of our liturgical year, every single year, says, "Stay awake and be vigilant, for you know not the day or the hour when the Son of Man is coming." That's what he says to us on the first Sunday of Advent. It's a message that we constantly need to act upon with freedom in response to those imperatives of the Lord. And today, we see the church in Thessalonica needed a reminder by St. Paul of those very truths. "You yourselves know very well, brothers and sisters, that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, like labor pains upon a pregnant woman. We know, in a sense, that a woman, if she's 8.5 months pregnant, 9 months pregnant, 41 weeks, 42 weeks, that the labor pains are eventually going to come. It's not like they come totally out of nowhere, but they do surprise you on that given day. So we always need to be ready St. Paul continues, reinforcing the message Jesus gives us every year that often we can ignore. You, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness for that day to overtake you like a thief. Children of the light, children of the day. Therefore, let us not sleep as the rest do, but let us stay alert and sober. The Lord's always saying, be vigilant and awake. Stay awake and be sober. Not to be drunk, not to follow what that parable says, that, oh, the master's long delayed, I've got plenty of time to do whatever I want, disobeying his word, because I'll have a chance to reform later. The Lord wants us always to be awake. Now, in Thessalonica, there was one problem which is different than the problem of most of us, but the solution's exactly the same. The problem in Thessalonica is they were assuming that the second coming of Jesus was right around the corner, that it was basically going to come today. And so they were more or less paralyzed. If the day of the Lord were coming today, if today was the last day of all of our lives, would you really want to go to work today? I think I'd be doing, I hope, good business in the confessional. But because they always thought that every single day was going to be the last, they basically weren't making any plans, weren't doing anything. So St. Paul needed to remind them that all they need to do is live as children of the light, live totally in the light, go about living a good Christian life, and then they will always be ready. They'll have nothing to fear, even when they're sleeping. They're called to sleep with the Lord, which is why prayers are so important before we go to bed. The problem for many of us is the exact opposite. We think that the second coming of the Lord will be somewhere around the world, around the year 2,005,046,470,012. And so we can just say, hey, I got plenty of time. No, we don't know that either. And so the solution to both is to live as children of the light, to live as in the day, to walk in the way Jesus illumines us. We celebrate today a great saint, one of the greatest who has ever lived, in my opinion, the single greatest pope we've ever had, Pope St. Gregory the Great. And he was a person who lived in the light of the Lord, tried to spread that light throughout the church. He was mayor of Rome in his young 30s. That would be, in a sense, like being president of the United States at 35 and a half. But even though he had done a tremendous job, he knew that God was calling him to something more. So as soon as his father died, he gave away most of his inheritance. He kept his house. He left office and he founded the first Benedictine monastery in Rome so that he could grow in living in the light of the Lord and help many others to do the same. So lots of men surrounded themselves around him. The Pope, because of his talent, wouldn't let him live that life of hidden prayer for long. He asked him to serve as one of the seven deacons, and then, because of his incredible leadership ability, sent him as his legate, what we'd now call a nuncio, to Constantinople, which was the administrative center of the entire empire, where the emperor was, to work for the church there. While he was there, Pope Pelagius II died, and everyone in the Church of Rome, the cardinal priests, the pastors of the various places who would elect the next Holy Father, knew that Gregory was their man, but knew that he wouldn't receive it, that he was too humble to receive it, despite his gifts. And so they just sent word to him that Pope Pelagius has died. He needs to come back in order to be present at his funeral. So he rushed home. When he got there, the funeral had already taken place, and they got the Bishop of Ostia to come by and ordain him a priest and ordain him Bishop of Rome. And then in the next 14 years of his papacy, from 590 to 604, he did more in that short time span, because he was living in the light, than all the popes in the previous 150 years did, and all the popes in the succeeding 400 years did combined. always seeking to bring that light. So first he recognized he needed to reform the bishops and the clergy so that they would be men of light. So he wrote a tremendous amount of letters and pastoral letters to his clergy to help them to become ever more men who walk the walk, walk as children of the light. He recognized that a lot of the times when Catholics came to Mass, they were not doing so luminously. So he totally reformed church liturgy, the prayers that were said at Mass, as well as the singing that was said at Mass. You've heard of Gregorian chant. It comes from Pope St. Gregory the Great to be able to teach us a way to pray as we sing. He knew that the world, after the sack of Rome and the fall of the Roman Empire, had basically fallen into feudal chaos. Many of the leaders didn't have any idea what they were doing. It was just raw power without prudence. So what he started to do is he started to send his monks from his monastery that he had founded on the Caelian Hill out two by two with some of the shavings of the chains of St. Peter that held him in prison in Rome to try to help them govern and to try to bring them to the light of the faith. And they converted the what we would now call the French, the Frankish Goths, converted many other leaders to help them to see the light, to live in the light, and to govern by the light. And English speakers owe our Christianity to his re-evangelization efforts when he sent some of his monks, including St. Augustine of Canterbury, to re-evangelize the British Isles. He did so much in a short span of time because he was one who knew that the time is short. We don't have all the time in the world. He wanted to live in the light and do as much as he could while the light still shone in his life. Because of that, his light still shines 1,409 years after God called him home. Today, as we come forward in this synagogue, we don't need a demon to shout on out to remind us of Jesus' authority. Jesus has his own authority. He calls us, he who is the light of the world, calls us to receive that light and radiate it so that we might become the light of the world set on a hilltop to illumine others, to come to him who is the source of our light, so that through a life walking in the daylight, we might come to that eternal dwelling place where Jesus reminds us and the book of Revelation makes clear. There will be no need for the sun because the Lamb of God will be the light of the eternal city. This is our call. Let us remain sober and alert today. Let us bring that light out to a world that walks in darkness. Praise be Jesus Christ.